So, I need a moment of silence.
That's the opposite of silence.
God damn it.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
Welcome to our inaugural Geeks Without God podcast, recorded live at Convergence 2012. In this episode, we talk to Melissa Kersher about the religious themes in Prometheus.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to the first Geeks Without God. We are here at Convergence 2012, and we figured the first time we recorded a podcast, why not do it in front of a bunch of people? So hello.
Hello, hello to our bunch of people.
My name is Tim Wick, and I am with
Molly Glover
and
Nick Glover,
and we are your hosts, and our guest for our first segment today is Melissa Kercher. Say hello, Melissa.
Hi.
I don't know why.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
Are we talking like this today?
Yeah, just as an FYI for anybody who is listening to this, obviously you're listening to it because it's a podcast. We are recording this at 9:30 in the morning at Convergence 2012 after all of us were up until well after 2 a.m.
Yeah, it's Saturday.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
I drank something through a kazoo last night.
my point is it's stupid, stupid early.
Yeah.
And we are really stupid right now.
Committed to the bit.
Committed to the bit. So what we want to do with our first podcast, we brought Melissa on because we want to talk about Prometheus. We want to talk about Prometheus, and we want to kind of frame it in talking about the religious themes in Prometheus, because this is an atheist podcast, and we want to talk about religion as it pertains to Prometheus. But I think this is important. Before we do that, I think it's important that we all get just a moment to bitch about Prometheus.
Good.
For just a second. So before we talk about the religious themes, if we can each just share the one thing about Prometheus that really fucking pissed us off.
All right.
So are you ready? You want to go first?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready.
Please go ahead.
Scientists that don't act like scientists.
I know, right?
I know!
Hi, I am a biologist. Oh, look, it's a brand new creature. Let me touch it.
Touch everything I see.
Oh, my God, it's a dead thing. I must run. What?
Yeah.
I have encountered an alien species for the first
time. I was really
time.
Scared to be in this pile of rocks until I saw this alien thing that came out of the water, so that's cool. Now I'm not scared.
Yeah. Okay,
She's friendly.
What pissed me off is the geologist dude who's got those little droids and uses the droids to map the whole area
out.
That's
sweet.
And when he's using the droids to map the whole area out, he's checking what they're doing on this computer on his arm. And then, later on, he gets lost. I'm like, dude, just check the fucking computer on your arm.
You'd think in 2093 we'd have some sort of Google integration at this point.
By the way, spoilers.
Oh, yeah. P.S. spoilers, it's not very good.
Molly?
All right, the thing that I really hated the most about it was that the main two archaeologists were leading the scientific expedition, and they weren't very good archaeologists, and they were, like, creationist scientists, apparently, even though it's 90-some years in the future or whatever, and, like, we still have that happening. So that's, like, really, we can't get rid of that.
Yeah, what did you say? Why are they bad scientists?
Yeah. Why aren't they good scientists? Because they're creation scientists.
Yeah.
Like, that explains it all.
It
that's why they're terrible
also,
scientists.
Also, not enough Fassbender.
Yeah. My main complaint about Prometheus is everything but Fassbender.
I know, I watched that movie, and we actually, Molly and Nick and I, went to watch it again. Because we wanted to focus on the religious themes.
Suffering
and,
for you.
To me, Michael Fassbender in Prometheus is like Val Kilmer in Tombstone. It's like every time he's on screen, the movie is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And whenever he's not on screen, all you're thinking is, when's Fassbender coming back?
Yeah.
It's that. So that gets you guys feel like it's out of your system.
I feel a little better.
Okay.
I definitely feel a little better.
Inoculated for time right. being, sure.
So let's,
that was
let's,
good. I need a cigarette.
So let's talk about the religious themes in Prometheus. And there are a lot.
Yeah.
And they're really muddled.
You don't really know what's going on because I complain about this about popular culture all the time. The character in the film that is clearly an atheist is David, Fassbender's character.
Yeah.
And of course, the atheist is always the douche.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's part of what defines them as a douche. If I know that they're an atheist, I can assume they're the one that's going to fuck over everybody else.
It's because he doesn't have a soul, Tim.
It's right.
He doesn't have a soul.
Well, see, without religion, there's nothing to guide his ethics and morals.
Right.
So he can just do anything. And so, and they basically program him to be an atheist.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And they're like, when they program the atheist, they're like, oh, that's right. If they're an atheist, they have no moral code.
How do we make this robot more of a dick?
Let's make him an atheist.
Right.
Because it's not enough that he's being guided by a dick.
So one of the things I really didn't like, after seeing it a second time, realizing when David is viewing, they're all in stasis, and he's viewing the memories of Namira Pace's character, who's, I cannot remember
Elizabeth
her.
Shaw.
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth yeah. Shaw, thank you. So Shaw, looking at her memories, and she's remembering when she's a little girl, and she and her father are, it looks like they're in India or some analog, and there's a funeral happening, and she's like, where do you go when you die? And her dad's like, well, everyone has their own word for it, heaven or nirvana or the afterlife. It's like, or nothing. I mean, I have a word for it, and it's nothing, but they just assume that everyone thinks that there's heaven.
Which is fascinating, because then later, when Wayland is dying, he says, there's nothing.
And David says, I know. So at
like,
least...
Oh, snap. Yeah.
So apparently now atheists are dickholes when someone's dying, too. Like, yeah. There's nothing. Yeah, told you.
good job, old man.
Melissa, you were going to say something?
Oh, hell, I don't remember now.
All right. Well, when you were...
Sorry, I got no sight lines.
No, it's fine. There were so many things that bothered me about that movie. But, you know, the movie has a lot of unanswered questions, but that doesn't necessarily bother me.
Is that the questions weren't worth asking?
The answers they were giving were conflicting.
Yeah.
Thematically, it was just a mess of a script. I mean, there were a lot of problems with it. And, I mean, one of the really great things that Cargill came up with yesterday on the Year in Review panel was... that one of the big problems with the biggest problem with the script is actually the characters. I mean, they are inconsistent, they are not well motivated. When you are given motivation, it's 30 seconds before it's relevant.
Yeah.
And so you don't care, you don't give a shit what these characters are doing, except for Fassbender, because he's fascinating.
And because you think you understand his motivation, or at least you want to understand his motivation.
Yeah. I feel like I understood Vickers more than any of the other scientists, to be perfectly honest. She had a clear cut, like she wants to be her father's son, she's trying really hard to impress him. Everything else was just muddled for everyone. Yeah,
Vickers was the other character that I was almost interested in.
Yeah.
And she was
the cold executive.
And then they just fucking.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? To me, as you're setting up a sequel, it didn't make any sense to me why she wasn't left alive. Because Shaw, Vickers, and David as characters going into another film. Holy fuck, I would watch that.
Yeah, I would watch that.
Even with everything that was wrong with Prometheus, I would watch that movie, because those characters together in a new situation would interest me a lot.
I think I'd be interested. I would be willing to watch a movie of David the Android watching Lawrence of Arabia.
like Mystery Science Theater stuff?
Watching Lawrence of Arabia by proxy of Android. I'd watch that, I think.
I'd probably watch that.
Yeah, Fassbender live commentary.
I feel like another religious theme that I did not really like about it was this whole... I'm sorry, that's why we're here. Was this whole focus on that, like we as human beings will our lives will have no meaning until we can solve the mystery of who made us, and like the fact that like and everyone
they
was
call
into
that
it.
They call it the don't they call it like the ultimate question
the most meaningful question that humankind has ever asked.
I'm like,
is what he says
that
yeah
right.
yeah And just the whole idea that it's like, oh, finally, now everyone can just be happy that we finally know this thing. I don't know. It was just
to solve all our problems. All of a sudden, people aren't hungry and no one's sick. Dude.
Yeah.
Well, I would counter that the big question why is a very relevant question.
Why is it more generic?
But why is more generic, and religion isn't the only answer to that.
Exactly.
Well, right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why is existentialism?
Ancient aliens are the answer to that question.
Clearly.
The Earth was apparently seeded by that black shit that created humans and turns everybody else into monsters.
The planet
or
that they
did film, it turn us into monsters?
The planet
Maybe
that they film in
it.
The very beginning, where they're the like gardener seeding the planet with life,
just like,
is not Earth. Ridley Scott has noted
that
it's not, it could be any planet. It's irrelevant. It's just showing
right,
their
the point is,
how they
it
do
may
their
not
thing.
Be Earth, but. It's pretty clearly implied that they did it here, too.
Yeah. Not even implied. Yeah. They outright say it. The DNA matches.
Speaking of things Ridley Scott has said, Ridley Scott also came out as saying, like, specifically, that the reason that the engineers were coming back to Earth to kill everyone on Earth because we crucified Christ, and Christ was an engineer. And so that 2,000 years ago, they say it, about 2,000 years ago is what these bodies were found, and what happened was they accidentally released their own stuff, and it started to kill everybody, so that they locked it down, they and then they tried to escape, and that was why they were going to come to Earth and kill us, because we crucified Christ, and
Seriously. They
decided we were irredeemable.
You can find this online. Google
it's,
it.
I'm not kidding.
He outright says it in an interview. In the movie, it's just implied. There's lots of imagery of sacrifice for life, which is
like
the
dudes flying into the spaceship and going, crucifixion!
Yeah. So now it's like, not only are they saying like creationism, religion, but P.S. Christianity specifically is validated above all others.
It's, she does a sample on the corpse that had the head chopped off from the door, and she says, it's about 2,000 years old, so... About 2,000 years ago,
and it's 2093 or 2193. Yeah. So within the time frame of
because science isn't very exact with carbon dating at all.
I'm sure at that point when you can carbon date by sticking a needle into something and getting a readout that sort of thing would be pretty inexact.
You think if they're gonna make it up, why don't they just make it exact? they can make it anything they want. Why don't they make it I'll just guess.
It seems like it's about 2,093 years old, give or take 33 years. Like,
now, one of the themes, and I'm gonna briefly sort of try to defend this movie or parts of it.
You know what? Just before you get into that,
okay.
I'd just like to note that I don't. It doesn't bother me that Prometheus is trying to tackle questions like this. If they had done it well, I'd be all on board.
Sure.
I mean, I wouldn't buy into it, but if it is done well, hey, that movie is successful within its own...
Mm-hmm.
And it was so bad.
My feeling about Prometheus is I've watched it twice, and both times while I was watching it, I was enjoying it, because as a horror, thriller, suspense film, it's not bad, but it wants to be more than that.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where it fails.
It wasn't scary at all.
It reminds me of AI.
Okay. It's failing is kind of in the execution, though.
Both AI and Prometheus are deeply flawed films, and there are a lot of things wrong with AI.
There are.
But I love AI.
I really love it too. The android was the best part.
Again,
everybody in the film is an android.
Yes.
Deeply flawed, but like the premise could have been spun into gold. Like it could have been. Fucking great.
Yeah, so you can see the possibilities.
My argument is that AI is fucking great in spite of its flaws, and Prometheus is not.
I agree with that.
Yeah, but anyway.
But they're ambitious films. They're very different films. I mean, meaning that you watch Prometheus, and there aren't many movies quite like Prometheus. And you can see that just a few touches here, a few touches there, would be so much better.
Yeah.
And I would be totally sold on a movie like Prometheus if it had been done well.
So let me talk about a theme that I liked which is really subtle. I didn't even catch it the first time I was watching the movie, and I wasn't thinking. And then when we were watching it and thinking about it, there's the fact that at the beginning of the film, Wayland introduces everyone to David and says, "This is effectively my son." And he's immortal, but to be immortal, he has basically sacrificed a soul. And Wayland, then, what is his goal in the movie? His goal is immortality. Yeah. And in order to achieve immortality, he's done basically the same thing. He sacrificed his soul because all he does is horrible things to everybody. Yeah. He's horrible to his daughter. He doesn't give a shit who he hurts, who he kills, so long as he gets the chance for immortality. And that theme comes in right at the beginning and right at the end, and that's part of the problem, is that seems to be sort of what one of the
they
things
didn't flesh
that,
it out enough.
They didn't flesh it out enough. Yeah. And so when I saw it the second time, I'm like, this is really cool.
Yeah.
This is a good idea. But since Wayland really just comes in our little hologram at the beginning and then shows up again at the end, you don't really, unless you're watching the movie thinking about it, you're not going to tie it together at all. And that's part of what we're talking about, is that it's so sloppy and that in the way it addresses all these themes. It comes up with some good ones, but then it doesn't allow the audience to connect the dots at all.
No.
Right. I feel like I was very, very misled by the trailer. I don't know if anyone else feels the same way, but the trailer made it look like it was going to be a fucking amazing horror movie. That trailer gave me a raging boner. I was so excited to go see this movie. And it was like, because it was just like, cut, and so, like, all the horrible things. And then I get this, like, questing movie of, like, emotions and, like,
wandering
complex
lost.
Wonders and, like, I don't know. It felt like almost like a bait and switch, in the sense that it was like, it didn't feel like it was a Ridley Scott film that I was looking forward to seeing, like the horror. Yeah.
Well, actually, you know what? Another thing that would have helped the movie would be, I think the questions that Prometheus were asking and things that it wanted to tackle would have been better suited to a very large format, like a mini series or a one season of a television show, where it should unravel in a very long form and
we
very
need to,
slow reveal.
We need to get to know the characters. I mean, essentially, they throw in 17 people who are just cannon fodder.
Yeah, it was just
they're
red
just,
shirt.
They're hair. Just there to
alien
kill them.
Bait.
Yeah.
if there were three people on the ship, it would have been improved.
You said that you felt like there were a lot of questions unanswered, or like mixed motivations between the characters, or conflicting motivations or actions within the characters. And I feel like I'm okay with questions not being answered in a movie, and I think my favorite example of that is Highlander. In the first Highlander movie, they never explain why they're immortal, they never explain why there can be only one, that there's this thing that exists, that's the way it is, whatever. Highlander 2, aliens. Fucking ruined. Highlander 3, Highlander 2 never happened, nobody knows why we're all immortals, blah, blah, blah. And, like, now, like, despite in real life, I, you know, seek out answers, like, I'm all about getting shit figured out with science. But I'm okay within, like, a narrative format, within a movie, of things not being explained.
Well,
and they could have just not explained shit in Prometheus.
Yeah.
And I'd been cool with that.
Oh, yeah. The thing about a movie is there's kind of this intrinsic understanding that we're looking at, like, this two-hour window of larger storyline.
Yeah.
And not everything has to be answered in that window we're looking into. Like, the original Night of the Living Dead, George Romero's Night of the Living Dead. Mm-hmm. Why are there zombies?
Doesn't matter.
They're fucking are.
As long as the movie obeys its own internal logic,
we
understand. It's like, oh, okay, you shoot them in the head, they die. All right, okay, we're cool.
I think the really important thing is, to me, is if a movie poses questions it doesn't answer, I'm okay with that, as long as I believe the people making the film know the answers.
Sure.
And they have internal rules that they follow.
In Prometheus, it's not even that I don't think they know the answers. I don't think they know what questions they're asking.
I recommend everyone watch the Red Letter Media.
It's a
thing bit they did where they ask every single question that you could possibly want to know about Prometheus. Just like, why did they do that?
We'll try. We'll link
what's
to that.
If David's an android, why does he have to bleach his hair?
We'll try. We'll try to link to that in the show notes.
It's brilliant.
So what I want to do is I want to throw it open to questions for a couple of minutes, and then what we do at the end with a guest is we have a something called five questions, and we're going to ask Melissa five questions. I didn't tell you about this. So,
dude, they're not hard.
I need more of this.
What I'm going to do is I'll take questions. This is a omnidirectional mic, but I'll still repeat the question just in case it doesn't you're not loud enough. So does anybody have anything you want to say or ask about Prometheus? Yes.
So if the engineers are angels and they're creating life and they're somehow derived from God, what does it say about God that all their imagery is penises and vaginas?
Yeah. So what's being asked, if the engineers are theoretically angels, agents of God, what does it say that the agents of God are creating a whole bunch of penises and vaginas?
and penis and vagina monsters.
Yeah. Yes. Because yeah, what God is saying is that sex is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Well, and also, where is this God? Like, where is the God? Another alien higher up than the engineer?
Did someone make the engineer?
Like an alien boss?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. The end boss.
Just bigger and somehow like more muscular and paler.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Paler, they're incandescent.
I don't understand. I'm just thinking, if the DNA matches, it wouldn't be a super buff alien. They'd be fat.
dude. DNA match. Oh my God, that's a horrible thing. It matches 100%. No, it's not cloned from you.
Yeah,
what the hell?
And you're like, look at the two of you. There is no fucking way this can happen.
Melissa, in the future, everyone has the same DNA.
I think from now on, I'm going to refer to mythical deities as creationism end boss.
Awesome. Very good question.
Yes, your question.
My question is, I haven't seen Prometheus yet, so I was...
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
We just spoiled.
No, I'm not.
Save your money.
Okay, well, thank you.
You lucky bastard.
But do you think there's like a recurring character like David through all of Ridley Scott's sci-fi movies, like in Blade Runner and Alien, where...
Do we think there's
Sure. Like how there's the other androids and the Wayland androids
the sort
and
of
the
atheist
alien
character
movies.
Kind.
And,
yeah.
Like a role that gets filled.
Yeah, the android in Kingdom of Heaven, I think, really shows exactly No, I'm sorry, I'm being a jackass.
Well, I'm thinking about Blade Runner, Jack. Yeah. I'm thinking about Blade Runner, like, I mean, Decker kind of fills... a role of like disbelief or just like, I don't know, maybe like just not caring, skepticism in a sense.
Yeah.
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 It's not buying into the whole
it's kind of
future.
More apathy, not wanting to get involved, but who knows if that's a part of his replicant program.
Well, what about Alien?
If he's a replicant.
Alien Ash.
Yeah,
I think
one of the thoughts is Ridley Scott seems to be actually, he really likes his android characters.
Mm-hmm. They're interesting in all
they're
the movies.
They're always the most likable. Yeah.
And they're complex.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and
one of the things I love about Fassbender's character, I mean, for those of you that have seen the film, at the end when he talks to the engineer and Wayland saying, tell him what we want, did anybody watching that movie think David actually said what Wayland asked him to say? Or do you think he said something completely different?
In an interview, they say what he said.
Really? Yep. They gave it away?
Yep. Fuck that!
It's something like, this man wishes to...
This man is dying, and he wishes for more life. Or
what?
Something like
that.
Yeah,
it's something
really,
which is
really
like,
lame.
My favorite part of the movie was not knowing what he said
it's
and wondering
cooler,
what he was saying.
It's way cooler thinking that he just said something different. Like,
he just said, like,
this guy's a douche, kill him. And it's probably going to look... It'll scare the shit out of him if you tear my head off. Don't worry, I'm not going
to... Okay, so Ridley Scott really is interesting when he encounters android characters, which means I think he next needs to remake Heartbeeps.
Batteries not included.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
We can take one more question from the audience or comment from the audience if... Yes.
I get bummed out by the abundance of Prometheus hate, because it didn't bother me that there were some plot holes, for some of the reasons that you guys have said that plot holes don't bother you.
Mm-hmm.
If they know this, it doesn't even bother me that much. And I found the Red Letter Media video very entertaining. I like that guy. I think he's hilarious. But I think he's just a comedian. This is just me, and some people are totally going to disagree
with
me.
He's a professional filmmaker. I mean,
but I don't ever agree with anything he says, like, Like, seriously. That's just, I guess, me.
It's not that there's, like, plot holes. It's that there's inconsistencies.
Yeah.
It's not that,
yeah,
things are unanswered. It's that the glimpses at answers were given for a character's motivations or for the plot are very inconsistent.
Yeah. So the question asked is...
And with fiction, the audience doesn't make those rules for the movie. I'm willing to go see a fantasy movie with knights and dragons and magic and shit like that, because I know that shit isn't real. And the filmmaker, the writer, the director, they set the rules for their own movie. And if they're breaking their own rules, not following their own rules, that's not my fault. That's not my problem. But it is going to lessen my enjoyment. And I feel like the least they can do is be true to the premises they set, even, yeah, if they're fantastic.
I mean, what I'm going to say about Prometheus is I don't hate it. As I said earlier,
no,
I enjoyed it both times I watched it while I was in the theater. I don't think it's absolutely awful. And the one thing I love about Prometheus, and any movie like Prometheus, is I've talked about, yeah, Prometheus, yeah, way more than I talk about movies that I love.
It,
you know,
it was a success.
It's like The Avengers. Yeah, the Avengers, what happens? You talk to people like The Avengers.
It was,
dude,
so good.
You know? and then you're
the
done.
Part, and then the other part. I know, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Prometheus days after I saw it first, before we were even going to talk about it on the podcast. I was totally thinking about it. That's successful in a way.
Yeah.
Even if it's negative thoughts, if you get, you know, if they, yeah, have people talking about it, thinking about it, like, that's a form of success.
Just like,
it's
a
fascinating failure.
Yeah, right.
It's very fascinating.
Just to directly answer your question, too, like, I know a lot of people who feel the same way you do and actually really enjoyed it and didn't have any problems with it and left thinking it was just fucking awesome. And we're like, that was an awesome movie with gorgeous set pieces. And even when I've said, well, what about this and this and this and this, they're like, I don't care. It was awesome. Yeah. So you're not alone.
It was very, very beautiful. I can't argue.
I feel like for most of Red Letter Media's questions, I have legitimate answers.
See, I don't. I don't think there are any legitimate answers to their questions.
That's a whole other podcast.
Like, unless
the legitimate answer to their question is because he's a fucking idiot. Why did this person do this? Because he's an idiot. Why did this person do this? Because he's an idiot. Why did she do this? Because she's an idiot. Because everybody in the movie except David is an idiot. And that is a boring answer.
Head canon isn't good enough if I have to fill in those gaps for the nuts.
So what we're going to do, we are going to ask five questions of Melissa as our first guest. So thanks for being our first guest, Melissa. We have five questions, and we will trade them off. Awesome. Nick, you want to take the first one?
Oh, sure.
I'm frightened.
What's the best movie you've seen in the last month?
In the last month?
Yeah.
At home, in the theater?
For the purposes of the question, we are going to define last month as 30 days.
Okay.
Nick just dumped ice everywhere.
Best, I'm not entirely sure. One of the most interesting I've seen in the last month that I'm happy to talk about is a film called Bunraku. It is on Netflix streaming. It is. It has, like, Woody Harrelson and Demi Moore in it, and it's this bizarre martial arts kind of Western futuristic sci-fi fusion film.
Weird.
Made on a shoestring budget, really, really stylish.
That sounds awesome.
So that's streaming on Netflix.
It is
Bunraku.
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 Right. It is, right. And Mike Patton from Faith No More is in it.
Sweet.
Yes.
Awesome.
Bizarre film. It is really, really interesting.
Okay, next question. What is your favorite atheist character?
Oh.
See, the great thing.
You should have sent me these so I could do.
No, we just thought we thought them up like a half hour ago.
Just PZ Myers.
Professional.
I think PZ Myers. PZ Myers. All right,
Melissa. What is your weirdest or geekiest hobby?
You get to pick one.
I only get to pick one. Well, I work on this. Little sci-fi convention called Convergence.
Yay!
That does not count. I'm
never
sorry. That's not. We're all here.
You're discounting my.
Come on. I know you do weirder stuff than that.
Oh, I know I do.
I think you just point out that It was your goal this year to be on more panels.
That's true. Well, that's
anyone else.
That's
ever.
True.
Anyone
that's
else
ever.
Is that, ever.
I gotta
is that like
out.
The nerd who wants to get in the yearbook like more than anyone else?
I did that too.
Awesome.
And no one's surprised.
I just got to point out, in 2008, Ken Height was a guest at Convergence. He sat 18 panels. This year, Convergence 2012, Melissa will be sitting 19.
Oh, my gosh. In 4 days?
Yeah. 4 days.
Oh, wow.
19 panels in 4 days. This is number 10, so I'm slightly over halfway done.
All right.
I have 7 panels today.
Wow. Jesus.
So, fourth question, what's your favorite sandwich?
I'm really fond of the BLT, you know? Classic, simple.
Classic,
I can make it myself.
Nothing frilly.
Yeah, and it has bacon.
Classic BLT. All right.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the final question, what is the stupidest thing anyone has ever said to you about your atheism or skepticism?
Oh, boy. That's a really hard one to answer because...
Make it up.
Be funny.
Oh, the pressure. Oh, goodness.
It's okay, I can edit out the silence. Sorry.
I did want... this isn't going to be very interesting, sadly, because I can't remember specifics.
Stop apologizing, just answer.
But I did... No. I wound up getting in this conversation in the Galapagos Islands with one of the gentlemen who was running tours. He was a naturalist running tours on the Galapagos mm-hmm. Islands, native to Ecuador. Very deeply Christian, but still... Mm. Running these tours in the heartland of evolution, and James Randi was part of this conversation.
So
the three of us are sitting on the ship.
So he's like one of the only people in the world who'd say thank God for Charles Darwin.
Yeah. Well,
anyway, go on.
But I mean, there was just this mind-bending conversation. This was like 2 a.m. with seagulls flying overhead, and. This mind-bending conversation, just trying to figure out, there were so many conflicts in this man's beliefs and with what he was actually doing in life and how he understood evolution. And
interesting.
It wasn't necessarily pointed, you know, his comments weren't necessarily pointed at me, but it was just this kind of roundtable conversation that was...
And I wish there had been a microphone there.
I
frankly,
really wish there had been.
Yeah.
That would have been
it
cool.
It was astounding.
Awesome.
And
well,
there were like 8 podcasters on this ship, and none of them had a microphone.
What the hell?
I know!
All right, well, we want to thank Melissa for coming out and being on our first podcast. Thank you very much, Melissa.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thanks to everyone for listening. This has been Geeks Without God. Thanks to Tim Wick and Jeffrey Brown for our theme song, Geeks Without God.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and look at past podcasts at www.geekswithoutgod.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.